Hey, I'm Joe. I sing in cheerleader.
Hi, I'm Carl, and I play drums in cheerleader.
Hi, I'm Chris. I play, lead guitar in cheerleader.
Hey, I'm Paul. I play bass in cheerleader.
I'm Josh. I play keys and guitar.
So I like revisionist history because what goes between the lines in any book or movie, what you interpolate, is a lot more fun. So I'm going to fill in some blanks. Let's see. We got you Connecticut. Then we got you moved to Philadelphia. Then you signed to Bright Antenna. Then you made your first album. There were originally two of you who were buds in high school. There was a basement involved.
I would say something that people don't know unless they know us is probably the fact that we all hit it off kind of crazy well in the very, very beginning. Like we... Well, no. So far, so good. I think we just hit the ground running as a group and all, I mean, just kind of became best friends almost instantly. I think way faster than any of us actually anticipated, you know, going into a band. Like, we've all been in bands before and usually you get along with people, but I don't think, you know, personally I've ever been in a band where just, like, it worked.
You're playing songs that people are hearing for the first time. And you're going out in front of pretty darn big audiences, particularly on this tour.
It's actually really, really cool. You know, some of these songs are like almost 5 or 6 years old at this point. So obviously you get sort of close to them and lose perspective a little bit. But this tour has been great because we have been playing in front of these larger audiences and the Wombats fans are super receptive. So it's been a... just cool to see, you know, we're starting to see people like singing along to the words of the songs and stuff. And
isn't that fascinating?
It's a rejuvenating experience for sure.
Isn't that fascinating that in this world of ours today, that the thing's just out and people are singing along to the songs and you think, how is that possible?
That's the same thought that I had. You know, how do they know the words to the song? I mean, sometimes the song... we'll release something and I didn't even know that we did. You know, someone would be like, oh, I love Million Ways. I'm like, I don't know, how did you hear that song? So yeah, it is crazy. The digital age has changed music.
It became a band versus a duo. It could have been Simon and Cheerleader, right? Or, you know, which that wouldn't have worked very well, would it? I'm trying to think of Sonny and Cheerleader. That works. Sonny and Cheerleader is funny. I like that. But it could have been Sonny and Cheerleader, right? Except that the great thing about having a lot of stuff in the box is it's great to have something in the box, but then you go, uh-oh, got to take it on the road. So where was that moment?
I think it was just this thing where, like Joe said, we've been doing music for a while. We started doing music together when we were like 16 maybe and just kept going from there. So we've had a lot of different bands and incarnations and different projects and just kind of constantly kept recording and trying things. And when we made New Days and Dreamer, we were just really happy with how they sounded and thought that it was kind of cool and like a sound worth pursuing, and got some nice attention and feedback and decided that it'd be worth it to try to like put a band together and play these songs live, and realized, yeah, like you said, that they had to exist outside of like the box that we had created them in. But you know, it's been a fun challenge.
So in other various conversations, you've talked about, you know, being, you know, children of the 90s and growing up with Nirvana and lots of louder, more intense things. But what I want to know is, where was that transition between what you listened to and what appeared on this record? Because this is a very full sounding record, but it's definitely, and yet you could turn around and say that Nevermind had exactly the same kind of vocals, because when it got into the big stuff, it really did share that. But people are not going to hear that in this record, or are they?
So I guess the transition really occurred, like Chris and I, you know, because we were children of the 90s or whatever, we were in a band before Cheerleader that was very shoegazy, you know, very much like grungy guitar. We didn't know what we were doing and blah, blah, blah. And I think we just got to a point where it's like, you know, it's like pop music is so universal, you know, people connect to it in like a way that is different than, you know, like loud, I don't know, My Bloody Valentine or something like that. You know, it's just like a different sort of experience. So that's when we sort of started going in the cheerleader direction, I guess. We were like, you know, let's try to connect to a broader audience. And you know, obviously our influences were still influencing us, but I guess in a different way.
These songs, however, are definitely my favorite thing in the world, which is Sunshine Coming from the Darkness. It's really fun when you taste something that's really, really sugar-coated, and then you get beyond the sugar-coating and you go, you know, now I know what this tastes like. Was that kind of, when you were sitting down and talking about what Cheerleader was going to be, if you did, or did you just write songs and say, this feels like Cheerleader?
It was a conscious effort. Well, I know it's a weird answer. It's almost kind of both of those things, because I know, like Joe said, we had been in a different project that was way more grunge and hard rock, and there was nothing really digital going on. There were no synthesizers, whatever. And we had kind of oscillated in the other direction of wanting to get people involved and have something that you could connect and see people dancing and really enjoying it. And so, yeah, there was definitely some conscious, like, calculation of a certain style or like, we knew it was going to be poppier and more upbeat and dancey maybe. But then also, like, when we made New Days, that just kind of happened. We had made a beat we liked, put some stuff on top of it, you know, whatever. And by the time it was done, we were really happy with it. And it was just this thing that was like, I think we had the name Cheerleader kind of, just was like floating around. And it was one of those things where it was like, oh, this would make sense as a Cheerleader song. And then, I don't know, I remember hearing, oh, this is such a lofty comparison, I can't say that, but I've heard stories of other bands where they say how they had a name before and they change it and it just, like, clicked. And I felt that where it was like, we had the name and we made New Days and then Dreamer shortly after, and the name started informing the music in a cool, like, circular kind of way.
How did these two gentlemen come to you and say, did they say, hey, want to be in Cheerleader? Or... How did you all find each other? But more so, how did you kind of say, yeah, you know, this is the kind of music? What for each of you was kind of the reason that brought you to this lovely band?
Before I met these guys, you know, I was a pretty active, you know, session drummer, and I still teach quite a few students, but I was much more active with playing in a bunch of bands and you know, doing a lot of session work. And so, you know, by being in the Philly music scene in that sense, you tend to hear about opportunities, you know, more quickly than someone that's not actively, you know, in that circle. So I think, you know, when we finally kind of got hooked up, and I went over to, you know, do the obligatory audition for the band, you know, I was just really pumped because I really loved the songs that I heard. I loved the aesthetic they had.
Wipeout, of course.
Obviously, yes. Backwards.
Yes.
No, it was just this, like, this really cool experience, you know, like hearing them for the first time and just being actually excited. And I you know, this sounds jaded, but, you know, when I was doing a lot of session stuff, like, I very rarely got excited about an audition or excited about, you know, working with somebody new. And this one I was, like, legitimately excited about, and I didn't want to get my hopes up because I thought I would get really disappointed if I didn't get it, because I really wanted to be a part of this project. And, you know, we met up. They told me to learn, they wanted me to learn one song. And then I said, well, I can learn a couple. And I said, okay, we'll try learning three. And then I ended up learning six or seven, like, basically everything they had on SoundCloud. I just learned them all on, like, a day's notice or something, because I'm a freak like that. And we started with Sunshine. And I think by the time, you know, first pre-chorus hit, probably, we knew that it was, like, destiny, you know.
I guess it was the three of us were playing a lot in the Philly music scene, and I guess we kind of got lucky, I would say. Their manager reached out to us.
Both of you?
No, we didn't know each other. We actually met each other in a coffee shop the day before his...
On a blind date.
That was kind of a blind date, because, like, I saw a picture of him. They're like, yo, this guy's going to audition. Here's a picture of him. And the next day, I'm, like, walking down the street, and I look into this cafe, and there's his face. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the guy. He's going to audition for us, you know. And So I went inside and I was like, hey man, yeah, you're going to audition for us tonight. Like, you know, I introduced myself. So that was kind of strange. And he was like, what? Like, who are you? Like, how do you know what I look like? Like, you know, but, Tinder. Exactly. No, but, like Carl said, it was like first time playing together. You kind of feel some kind of connection and you know, it just felt right.
There was an ad on Craigslist that said this band needs a drummer. Didn't say the band name or anything, but I listened to the music and I was like, this is cool. I would play drums for sure. So I hit the respond, and apparently it was a month late, the post. I got it like a month late or whatever, and they had already found a drummer. I was like, okay. I was speaking to the manager, John, and he's like, yeah, the band's looking to record and do all this stuff. I'm like, that's cool. I have a recording studio in Philly. So I had Chris and Joe come down to the studio. We met, hit it off. It's like, okay, yeah, nice to meet you guys. If you want to come and record or do anything, let me know. And then a few weeks later, I get a call from Carl, who I had been friends with for a year already. And he's like, hey, there's this band called Cheerleader, and they need somebody to play like keyboards and guitars. And I'm like, I was going to try and audition for drums for them. So he's like, yeah, come and try out a keyboard. So
you have a label that really invests in their bands, and I'm not talking money, but I'm talking with their heart and their soul and their attention and their energy and their ability to even pair you on a tour like this and all of that. So how did you first meet the folks at Bright Antenna?
I guess this story is John, our manager, knew Braden
from
the Killers days when John wrote an article about the Killers for NME. So that's how that connection was made. And I guess we sort of met with them and they were super nice and enthusiastic. We played for them and they were just so sweet and supportive. And we could tell that they just would really pay attention to us and were interested in making us, you know, helping us grow as a band, which was...
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I just want to add too, I think one of the most attractive things about them when we were talking to labels, thinking about labels, whatever, is that they have a genuine like passion for the bands they take on and a, you know, like you said, investment wanting to help the bands as much as they can, like current state of music aside. I don't think they look too much into like, you know, oh, okay, this is hot right now, but in the next 18 months, people are going to move on, so let's not, you know, invent whatever, whatever. I think it's easy to get caught up in that, and I think when we were talking to them, we could just tell that they, like, really care and really, genuinely are invested in all the bands they take on, so that was really, I don't know, cool for us.
What's not out there in all these interviews is really who produced it or if it was self-produced. I haven't seen that.
We recorded the record with Mark Needham, who's awesome dude, super experienced in the industry. He actually recorded the Killers record, remixed the Killers record, Hot Fuss. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He mixed Imagine Dragons.
He's definitely like a heavy hitter, you know? Yeah. We recorded at a studio called East West Studios, which was pretty exciting for us because the room we were in, like, Weezer recorded the Blue Album there, I think, and like Green Album, and the Chili Peppers recorded Californication, Beach Boys recorded in the room right next door, like Pet Sound stuff.
And Snoop Dogg was shooting a music video in the room next to us one of the days.
That informed the whole record.
Yeah, that adds to the haze.
But yeah, you know, it was definitely an interesting experience for us because a lot of the songs had been recorded just by me and Chris demo-wise. And we sort of had just shoddy gear and sort of just crammed as many parts as possible into it because we were like, well, more is better, right? You know, like the fuller the better. We wanted that sort of wall of sound sort of thing going on, you know. Which when we got to the studio, it was like a totally different experience. We ended up using a lot of the stuff from the demos actually on the record, which was cool that Mark was kind enough to let us be like, hey, you know, you're not good enough. We're going to use our crummy, these dumb sounds that we made on the record. But he was awesome in like finding that balance.
So what I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. and it's two of your songs on the outside as The Bread, and then songs by other bands in between.